Mr. Mullen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, back in those days, you could get away with a lot more. Yeah. In the military, at least, I mean. Yeah.
Like you said before.
Yeah, that.
Yes, sir. Let's get back to it.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, no, not that.
Also, politically involved, I also know it's one of them. We're drunkers of these.
Good.
So he's here for his banquet, but he's curious, probably.
This heavy.
Being a friend, he wants that.
You really had to use some discretion. Sounds like it. I had very little interaction with the MPs when I was in the service. But they did save my butt one time when I was in Germany. They helped me. Huh? That's at Nuremberg. Is it? That was the only time I had any interaction with them all at all. Like I said, it ended up the German police wanted to do one thing. And the MPs didn't want to, or actually took our side of it. So.
Somebody asking
when the two seats touch.
Somebody asking me the mics. I've used them.
Trying to impress everybody with how much work you have.
That's just your homework.
I don't know where Tom Barrow is supposed to be here someplace tonight, too.
I'd like to call the meeting to order. If I might, Chief, could you open the meeting with a pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please have a brief moment of silent reflection. Thank you. Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda?
Mr. Schaefer, I would like to add, when we go to executive session, I have a matter involving confidentiality and proprietary information relating to a business that I would like to bring to council tonight. I was able finally to talk to someone from Mr. J. Work's office this afternoon at 4:00 about this matter, so was not able to get it on the agenda. If we could, please, as item I.
Anything else? It's a pleasure to cancel.
I move that we approve the agenda as stated.
With the amendment?
With the amendment.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. Thank you. I think we have three sets of minutes. What is the pleasure of the council regarding the minutes?
Yes.
I guess we don't have to approve the finance committee.
The two and the finance committee.
May 15th and May 18th.
Right. We don't approve them. Just for the benefit of council, we have corrected them for some typos and grammatical matters that Valerie discovered after she woke you all up in the middle of the night over the weekend to deliver them. And also, Mr. Evans was in attendance at the meeting on the 15th, and the corrected minutes do reflect that. I think we neglected to list you, Mr. Evans, in the list of attendees.
You want to approve the May 15th?
I've also got a copy of the April 17th minutes. Now, I don't know why they're in my packet. Did we already approve those April 17th minutes at our last meeting? Yes? Okay, thank you.
Did.
I therefore make a motion that we approve the minutes of the May 1st meeting.
15th.
Should we do them separate?
Let's do the 15th.
15th? Okay.
15th and 18th.
I'll correct that. I make a motion that we approve the minutes of the May 15th meeting.
Is there a second on the 15th minute?
I'll second that.
I'd like to add something to those minutes, addition, that the mayor get on those minutes be excused, because I have been informed that he did tell Mr. Hupp that he wouldn't be here for the May 15th or the last meeting in May.
That would be on the 18th. That would be the 18th minutes. But we have it. Let's do the 15th first. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Now we have the 18th.
Mr. Evans, as you had met the amendment, maybe you want to make that motion?
You want to approve the minutes as amended?
Is it time for discussion?
No, let's get a motion real quick.
Motion and a second, then discussion.
Did you make a motion?
I make a motion.
I'll second it.
Yes, sir.
The fact that they are a draft, the only thing that concerns me is there anything substantial? We're approving these on the basis of the fact of looking at the draft, and there's only typos. There's nothing of substance. Okay. That's all I need to know.
All in favor as amended?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. I have nothing, Mr. Jaywork.
I have nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief?
It's great having your packet this evening, my report to Mayor and Council. First item was I wanted to bring to Council's attention some traffic and parking adjustments that we've come up with working with the Smyrna Clayton 4th of July Association. Run these changes past the town manager, and he's in agreement with them. The parking adjustments are pretty much the same as we have had in the past. However, there are going to be some adjustments made to traffic patterns on North Main Street, and due mostly to the fact that this year parking is not going to be allowed at North Smyrna Elementary School. And for the last couple of years, we haven't been able to allow parking at the cemetery across from the park. So there'll be very limited parking in the area of the municipal park this year. The parking that's there, we always have problems with handicapped folks not being able to find a place close to the park to be able to park. So we're going to reserve most of the available parking for handicapped folks. And the 4th of July Association has made arrangements to have shuttle buses running from the downtown area and also from the parking lots at the high school and the middle school. We'll be encouraging folks to use the shuttle buses. Council does not take action on that, but I just want to make sure that members of council were aware of those changes. I also included some information on our dispatch center. We have finished that up, and we're very proud of the way it looks now and how it will be able to operate. I did want to acknowledge the hard work that Senior Sergeant Bob Wilson did on that, and Bob's here this evening. He doesn't have any information on any search warrants, but he did do a good job on that dispatch center, along with our dispatcher supervisor. Also, the town, we saved a lot of money for the town, or actually Public Works saved a lot of money for the town by allowing three of our public works folks to do a lot of the physical changes in the dispatch center. And I wanted to thank the town manager and Darryl Jester, who's here this evening, for allowing those folks to do the fine work they did. The only other thing I had, Mayor, received an email from the town manager this morning indicating there's a parking problem on George's Alley in the area of Rita's. And initially I suggested to Mr. Hugg that I would ask that we refer that to the Public Safety Committee. However, looking at the area, and I've talked to a couple of my officers, and I guess it gets very congested there when it's warm out and Reed is very popular. If there's no objections on the part of council, I would like Mr. Hugg to draft a change to the ordinance, the no parking ordinance. I think it's 66-108 or something like that. But just to have no parking on George's Alley, that's an extremely narrow street, and people historically have not parked along that roadway. They are now because of the overflow from Rita's. People who live along there won't be able to get in and out of their driveways, and from a public safety perspective, a fire apparatus could not get down that street. So if there's no objection, if we could go ahead and do that, and then maybe if it's one of those three reading rules, if we could suspend the reading, make it three readings next meeting if we could.
I don't have any objection. Does anybody else?
Something needs to be done about it.
Thank you very much. That's all I have.
North Elementary.
Yes.
Any particular reason why there would be no parking allowed there?
I assume because of the construction, Mr. Mayor.
Not even in the open field area?
Yes, sir.
Question, Chief. When you have parades of any type, do you have extra police?
Yes, sir.
The town pays for that extra police?
Not a whole lot. We have grants that we've received from the state for community policing activities, and normally the bulk of the overtime we're able to charge to those grants, so there isn't much of a cost to the taxpayers.
But if we never had those grants or didn't have those grants, the cost would be borne by the city. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
One more thing. Mr. Hugg, is the town office going to draft that? That sounds like a fairly simple ordinance.
Yeah, we'll draft it.
Thank you. Mr. Jaywork? Excuse me. Mr. Hugg?
Okay. You have my report in your packet. The other thing I want to remind both council and the residents of Smyrna that we will be having our power outage early in the morning June the 10th and again on June the 17th. Bill, you can correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is that on the 10th, basically the south side of town, South Street area, that circuit is the one that will probably be out briefly, and on the 17th, the north and east circuits will be out as we make the switch over from the old substation to the new substation. Also want to compliment the guys for their work getting Walmart switched over, I guess, about a week ago. In the middle of the night, so that their operations weren't severely disrupted by the change. Other than that, that's.
And these again, these will be done on a Friday night, and they're going to commence.
These are actually
Saturday mornings.
Saturday mornings, roughly between 5 and 7 a.m. They'll be very brief and affect one part of town one weekend and the other part.
Very good, thank you.
Any committee reports?
Yes, the Finance Committee held a meeting on June 1st, Thursday. Had a very full agenda, and most of the things we got through. Spent a lot of time on the audit and what was happening on the audit. Apparently, the audit will be due out next week.
Yeah, it actually will be. It'll be. I think it'll be dated tomorrow. It'll be delivered to us in time for your next Finance Committee meeting.
But it is completed. We went through a lot of things. A couple of things are on the agenda for tonight, the electric impact fees and also the library fund. We've kind of expedited the meetings a little bit, and we are going to have another meeting, and I forgot to write the date down.
It's the 14th at 4:30.
It'll be June 14th at 4:30.
In the basement,
correct.
Any other committee reports?
Yes. The Long Range Planning Committee had a meeting, and we discussed primarily the issue of a new library. And I think step by step we're moving in the direction of providing a new library for the area of northern Kent County, which would obviously include Smyrna. And if anyone has suggestions or ideas, that sort of thing, please come to our meeting. It's the last Friday of the month in June. At 12 o'clock, lunch is served.
Any other committee reports? Thank you. Now is the time in the agenda for the members of the public to address the council. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Jim McKnight, 735 Radnor. I'm hoping council can help us, and I think the burden is going to be on Mr. Hogg. This little green paper that came in the mail, I have a couple questions.
Sure.
Pen in hand? Okay.
Try and answer them as we go.
All right. What benefit will be to the resident?
Okay. Feel good.
I can do that petting my dog. Yeah.
Be cheaper.
Okay. Is the cost added to what we are paying now?
It is added to what you're paying now.
Now, we're crying because we can't afford what we have now, and then we want to increase it because we want to feel good. I can go to Dr. Chauvinac's office for that.
Not for $18 a year. He's expensive.
No, that's true.
Now, what, John, let me interject here for a minute. The green energy program that you all got, the lovely little green sheet of paper printed on recycled paper in the mail, is part of a state-mandated green energy program adopted by the General Assembly last session. It requires all municipal and all municipal electric utilities to offer green energy to their customers, just as DP&L and the co-op are also required to do. We are mandated by law through DMAC to over a period of time, and I believe it's between now and 2010 or 2012, something like that.
10 years.
1% a year we have to, of our 1% additional each year of our total energy consumption has to come from green sources. Green sources are hydro, wind, solar, those kinds of things. The General Assembly provided a mechanism, which is what you have there, where you as a customer can purchase blocks of green energy. That costs you more money,
mm-hmm.
and you actually don't get the energy specifically. Nobody comes and brings you a bucket load of green energy and says, here it is. It's simply part of our acquisition. There is no benefit to the town other than meeting our statutory requirement. And the only benefit to you is that you as a customer are contributing to reducing our demand for carbon-based fuel sources.
Okay. Once you sign up, can you get out of the contract? And if you can't, or if you do, are you penalized for it? I mean, once you sign up, are you locked in for a year?
You're basically locked. I'm sure you're locked in for a year, and I don't know what happened. Obviously, if you left the area or something, ceased being a customer, you wouldn't continue to buy energy. But basically, you're locked in for a year.
All right. You answered my one question. You said it's the federal?
State.
It's okay.
It's a state-mandated program.
All right. Monetarily, who benefits?
Ultimately, what happens is the proceeds of the green energy programs, whether they're municipal or private sector, those proceeds go into a fund that is used to make matching grants to people to put in solar panels, geothermal heating systems, those kinds of appliances. Once there is sufficient funds in the program to actually begin to make grants, and that's a set of regulations that the state hadn't put out yet. But I mean, I guess if you wanted, you could say that the way you would benefit personally if you bought green energy is that you could come back and apply for, I think it's a 50-50 matching grant up to a certain level to put solar panels on your house.
Okay, now what is a block? Is it measured?
A block is 100 kilowatts.
100 kilowatts. Okay, and the last one. It said you had to sign up by June the 1st, but we didn't receive this to June the 3rd.
You can begin signing up on June 1st.
Oh, okay.
You can sign up at any time, but you couldn't sign up before June 1st.
Okay, thank you. It would be cheaper to go on Dr. Chauvinac because he only gets paid $10.81 for an office for Medicare.
Yeah. Very good.
Thank you, and we have free blood pressure checks.
Mr. Hogg, if I can just supplement what she said, I'm not, to be honest with you, I'm not conversant
with the municipal program, but it sounds like it's very similar to the one that's required by the state statute for the co-op and DP&L. And I want to emphasize that this is a voluntary program. Nobody's got to sign up for this. It's your choice. And number two, I think, and maybe this, I know with the co-op, the fund that you're talking about for the matching grants and all that, that's actually going to be a surcharge. It's like 17 mils, like, you know, it's some percent that's being added to everybody's bill. And that's where that fund comes from. The 2 cents or 20 cents per 100 kilowatt hour block, that is simply the cost of getting it for the co-op. We're buying it from DP&L, from their landfill generation plant up in Newcastle County, and that's what we're paying for it, and that's what we're selling it to our customers for. So that's just a wash for the co-op, and I suspect that that may be the same for DMEC.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Helen Miller. I live at 45 West South Street. Several months ago, we received this folder from the Smyrna Police Department for District 2 in which we live. I have highlighted the parts that I think pertain to what we should be getting. Effective police response to their calls for service, proud of the service we provide for our residents, prompt and efficient, willing to be true public servants, cooperative and interactive with the citizens in their district, a rapport with the citizens. Look forward to close working relationship with each of you as we work together to maintain the close-knit, small-town feeling that everyone feels here in Smyrna. I think 90% of the people in this room know we live two doors from John Bassett Moore School. Last Thursday morning, there was a very large commotion out in front of our house. I went out on the porch. The ladies across the street were screaming, "What can we do? What can we do?" There was a huge, I mean huge, snapping turtle like this in the middle of the road. All of the kids are going to school. They said, "What can we do, Mrs. Miller?" I said, "I will go in and call the police." I went in and called the police. I got no name from the man that responded to my call. I said, "We have a huge snapping turtle in the middle of the road. The kids are going to school. In fifth and sixth grade, they want to tease this turtle. One of these children is going to get bit and hurt. What can you do? Call the SPCA or the Humane Society." I said, "By the time they get here, school will be out. Isn't there anybody in the police department that can come and take care of this turtle?" I was immediately disconnected from my call. I don't think this is a good response to the citizens of Smyrna.
That was Thursday afternoon.
Morning.
Between
8 and 8:30.
Mr. Miller, I want you to say, I agree with you, that is not a good response. I've handled a number of snapping turtle complaints in 22 years, so historically, even before we made those promises to you, we were responding to snapping turtle complaints.
Why didn't they come last Thursday morning?
And this is the first I've heard of it. I promise I'll check into it.
I wish you would.
I told you
some
I would.
Some of these kids are going to get hurt with things like this. There are big black snakes on our street now. Never mind. I don't want to go into the 50 and 60 mile an hour cars going by more than 45 miles an hour on Route 13.
Ms. Miller, excuse me. Who were you told to call? ASPCA?
Or the Humane Society.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Don George, 119 West North Street. I guess I have really a question. For about 2 years now, there's a property on Walnut Street between North and Mount Vernon, 128. There's people sleeping in there at... excuse me, this is a void. There haven't been anybody living there for over a year and a half. And I've called the police a couple times, and they say the people are from the mortgage company coming in and cutting the grass. Well, the town just cut the grass the day before, and whoever's paying for to have this grass cut the second time, and got these guys running around with patches over their eye, look like a Pirates of Penzance or something, I don't know. Spy glasses, they look down at the property and ask them a question. they all pile in a truck and leave. And they said, well, we're from the mortgage company. My question is this. This has been going on for a long time. Vagrants, I only got one across the street. There's a matter of fact, right now there's a freezer sitting in the side yard that a kid's going to get hurt with, and I'm sure it's left over from the town pickup, but something's got to be done about this. I mean, there's people in and out of this thing all hours of the night. Dick, I'm sure your men have done a good job coming down here. They've done their job, but you can't camp out there all night long, you know. So my point is, who owns this thing? What can be done about it? And why the hell don't they rent it out or do something with it?
Mr. George, is there a lid on this freezer or a door still on the freezer?
The door's off, but it's like sitting upright, and his kids play out there in the yard, and suppose this thing comes over and gets a kid caught underneath of it. He'll never get out of it.
But the door has been removed.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Is that the house right across the street from you?
Yeah, Mr. Hilda's.
Garley's. The Garley property.
I mean, I looked it up in the
alleyway down there.
Yeah, Walnut Street.
I know where you
well, sure it's, I mean, it's trash all over the place. There's air conditioners laying out front. The phone books all over the place now. The girl that used to live there had the grass cut couple of weeks ago, but now it's back up again, and is it time for the mortgage company to come in and play their games again? And the people sleeping there overnight, drugs, whiskey bottles all over, something's got to be done about it.
It's 128 North Walnut.
No, just 128 Walnut.
Walnut Street. Walnut Street.
Right back of our driveway.
You think it's on an alleyway. It's down the end of that.
Yeah.
Dead end.
Is somebody...
I'll have code enforcement officer.
Yeah, well, they came and put no trespassing signs up, but that's like smacking wrists.
Other than that, I suspect it would be a police matter if there's vagrants or something in it.
Hasn't George gone out there in the past and plywooded them up?
Probably has.
The doors, if the door's ajar and it's vacant.
If it was town forces, it probably was George Wicks out there cutting it for us. Enforcement action.
Well, yeah, he had like a couple of Spanish guys. They kept the place nice, but as soon as they get finished, then this gang from the mortgage company comes around with the patches on and they all limp and got this. I don't know where the hell they're from.
Are we allowed to board that house up?
Well, it depends. That was one of the questions. Is this house somebody actually living there, or is this a vacant house?
Yeah, there's no one lived there for over a year.
Okay, well, I would say that if the code enforcement people go out there and look at the dangerous building ordinance, if it's determined to be an unsafe building,
it
doesn't have to be dangerous to be torn down, but the determination could be made based upon the particular facts that it deserves to be placarded and sealed.
Well, if I may add one thing to this, somebody had looked at this to buy. The whole front foundation of this house is ready to cave in, so somebody's gonna have to do something with it. But hopefully, somebody won't get hurt inside of it.
Well, just to pick up where you, if in fact the code enforcement people go out and make a determination that the building is in fact a danger, and we may be able to condemn it and tear the thing down. But you know, without that kind of an inspection, I can't tell.
We can probably have somebody out there tomorrow. We think, couldn't we?
Yeah.
If somebody looks at it, that's what I want, because it's been going on too long now. You know. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to address the council? Seeing no one come forward, I will close the public portion of the meeting. Thank you very much. 8A, old business, resolution to set date and time for annexation election for the Slaughter properties. There was a fact-finding hearing earlier this evening. No one spoke in favor and no one spoke against. I think does the comprehensive plan and the annexation plan support this annexation?
It does. We're proposing to set the hearing for July 13th at 9 a.m., I believe.
What's the pleasure of the council?
I'll make a motion to approve the resolution to set the date and time for the annexation election for Slaughter Properties on North Carter Road, July 13th, 2006, from 9 to 10 a.m.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. 8B, police station site. Not sure who put that on.
I put this on. As you know, back in, when was this now? Probably, Chief, six, maybe longer than that, sometime last year in 2005, we discussed with Mr. Ramuno the exchange of lands for property on Carter Road in the vicinity of Bon Air. Mr. Ramuno delivered to us at that time, in response to council's agreement that we move forward, a deed and appropriate other information, which he had signed. Because of the issues involved with financing our capital investment program, we have had this this deed laying on my desk kind of in limbo since late last year. Mr. Ramuno has contacted me and asked that we return the deed and the documents, in part because they're all dated in 2005 and he would like them to be more current. He does indicate in his letter that, quote, as I told you, I'm still willing to convey this area to the town for a police station, but at some time the town needs to make a decision in this issue since the property cannot remain in limbo indefinitely. That's a quote. I discussed this matter with Mr. Jaywork, who advised me that since council had actually authorized us entering into the agreement, that I should at least bring this matter back to you before I simply return the deed to him. What I'd like to do, if it's appropriate, is ask that this matter be referred to the Public Safety Committee, because I think, I talked to the chief some today about this, I think it's important that council take a hard look at the police department's needs and their space requirements and whatever before we just, you know, say, well, let's just send it back and hope that the next time we talk to Mr. Ramuno, he's going to be, you know, willing to do this if we wish to do so. But I would like council's guidance on, you know, on how to proceed.
If I can supplement that a little bit, this is probably maybe for the benefit of the newer members of the council and also to refresh the members of the council who were here when these things took place. The town had entered into an agreement. It was a great deal back and forth. We finally got an agreement with Mr. Ramuno that the town was going to swap a property in the industrial park for this property just outside of Bon Air or in Bon Air for a possible police station site. If I recall correctly, the agreement said basically had a duration of 3 years, that we had to start construction, substantial construction, meaning we had to have $50,000 in the ground, and that basically sealed the deal. But if 3 years passed without us putting $50,000 in improvements in the ground, that the deal was set aside, he didn't have to give us the police station site, we didn't have to give him the industrial park lot. We're still within the 3 years. The time has not expired. The council can, in my opinion, can sit on this. I certainly don't disagree with going to the Public Safety Committee, but as I say, you don't have to give it back to him, but if the Public Safety Committee reaches the conclusion that this is never going to happen on this site, you know, maybe you want to go ahead and back out of the deal right now. But that's
your... I'll make a motion that this be sent to the Public Safety Committee for further consideration.
Second.
I'll second it. Now I have a question. Was there any restrictions on this site as to what it was going to be used for, or is it specifically for a police station?
I think I can answer that. That question actually came up before, and actually in December of 2000, and I think it's pretty clear if you read that agreement in its entirety, it's for a police station.
Would Mr. Ramuno be in favor of maybe having the option of using the site for something else, if we do?
Town using it for something else?
Right, correct.
It's hard for me to speak for Mr. Ramuno. I think that, Mr. Hogan, we had the properties. One of the requirements was that the properties had to be appraised. I think when we got the properties appraised, the Bon Air parcel was worth substantially more than the industrial park site. And so my suspicion is that Mr. Ramuno would probably love to get the property back.
My recollection is that he wouldn't. He would not support that, but I can't speak for him either. But in those discussions, he was pretty clear that would be the only use he would permit.
And I would concur. I mean, that certainly all the documents refer to that site being used for a police station. Dr. Shermanek asked me, it's about 4 acres, roughly, each parcel, the one we were going to convey and the one he was going to convey to us.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Chief, would you try to poll everybody and get a meeting scheduled?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. 8C, first reading of ordinance 011-06, sex offender ordinance. I asked that this be placed on the agenda. There was a little bit of confusion at the last regular meeting as to whether or not this had in fact been approved by the Public Safety Committee and whether or not it had been forwarded to council for action. And Ms. McKinney was good enough to put the minutes in our packet tonight. And I hope everyone, I hope the new council members that have received a copy of the proposed ordinance. I noticed that Ms. Schrader is here from Mr. Jaywork's office. I would assume that...
No, she's actually here. Once everybody's minded ease, she's here on my dime tonight, just simply watching and learning.
Okay.
Since she happens to be here...
We have added benefit. She sat in on all these meetings.
Right. If you have any questions about this, she is here, but...
What's the pleasure of the council?
I've got several questions about this, and I'd like to ask them now before a motion is brought up. And I asked the chief a couple of weeks ago whether or not there was any problems with any recurrence with the offenders that we have living in town, and basically he said no. This is being in between a rock and a hard place for me, because this is probably the most heinous crime that I can think of that occurs in our society. But the state has very, very specific rules relating to sex offenders. They do contain some gray areas, and they're not the greatest in the world, but I think this ordinance goes way over and above. One of the sections I'm particularly concerned with is where they may reside, where they may be employed. Let me find the section here. Offenses and miscellaneous provisions. Any person, sexual offenders prohibited from restricted zones, any person who is a sexual offender who resides within 1,500 feet of property line of any school, park, library, or child care facility. Well, every open space, according to the charter, every open space and every subdivision in this town is considered a town park, is controlled by the town, and basically it's owned by the town. That would put every single one of these areas off limits. And again, I'm in between a rock and a hard place, but I just, as it is written, I can't support it, and quite frankly, I don't see the need for it. I think the state law covers us well enough. If we had a documented problem, then I would say, yeah, let's look at it. But I don't see a problem in this town with this, and I'm quite. Also quite concerned that it's gone this far, because I'm sure we spent a couple of $1,000s drafting this thing up in attorney fees, and I don't see the need for it.
I think that there was, at the time the ordinance came forward, there was a general consensus of a majority of council members to support it. I support it 110%. I think anything we can do to further protect our children is a wonderful thing. And I note that we received a handout this evening that somebody was good enough to copy. Where will sex offenders live? Creating buffer zones around schools and other public places can make entire cities off limits. And I, for one, don't think that's quite a bad idea, to make our city off limits for sex offenders. I don't want them living in Smyrna, cut and dry. And anything I can do to make it more difficult for them to reside in Smyrna, and God forbid, prey on our children, I think we should take every opportunity to do so. So that's where the ordinance came from, and it was debated vigorously. I think Ms. Schrader would attest to that. I think she would. In the Public Safety Committee, I think on three or four occasions. Three or four different meetings. So.
Number one, I don't. Were you finished there? Number one, I don't recall any such consensus of council on this bill. I think every time this bill has come up in front of council, there's been a great amount of dissension. And again, the problem, I agree with Mr. Mullen, when you talk about a sexual predator, a true sexual predator, these are the worst people in our society. These are the most dangerous people in our society. Many of them are unable to be rehabilitated. It is truly one of the worst fears of anyone who has children or loved ones, for that matter. However, in Delaware, you can become a sex offender by being caught urinating in public. You can become a sex offender because you're a 17-year-old boy who slept with his 15-year-old girlfriend. There are so many different levels and tiers. There are three different tiers of sexual offenders. There are different levels of danger, if you will, that these people cause. We have, in the town of Smyrna, I believe we were told we have a total of 6 sex offenders. And of those 6, Chief, correct me if I'm wrong, 5 of them are people that most of us would consider to not be dangerous, okay? They're not child pedophiles. They're not serial rapists. They're simply people who have had some contact which has gotten them stuck in this category of sexual offender in the state of Delaware. Once they're in that category, they're in it for 15 years.
That's not true.
No.
Okay, if I may just finish, but in certain cases it can be up to 15 years, because I know for a fact someone who has to wait 15 years before being cleared of this. Well, the important thing is this, is number one, as Gene said, we already have state laws dealing with this. This is a crime problem that should be handled by crime professionals, and I'm sorry, gentlemen, but none of us up here, with the exception of the chief, is a crime professional. Certainly not, and even Chief, I don't even think you would consider yourself a rehabilitation specialist. Therefore, for the town of Smyrna to be taking on this extremely serious step where there doesn't seem to be any need for it, the chief has stated even on TV that we have no recidivism. We have not had a repeat problem with this. The other problem with this, and then I'll finish, is that I feel that this is going to open us up to litigation. We are sooner or later going to get sued, and the town of Smyrna does not need a $100,000 or more lawsuit for something that at present is not a problem for us. Now, if we have a problem and our kids are in danger, our citizens are in danger, I will be the first one to jump forward and try to do something about it. But right now, I perceive this as a waste of time, frankly. Thank you.
Pat, I agree on some of the things, but why do we want to wait till it is a problem? Why don't we snip this before it becomes a problem? Because I know I've got kids and I've got grandchildren. Chief Baldwin, would something like that happen, I would end up being going to jail myself. Yeah, and I was just at a program about Judge Vaughn was talking about some of these things that if they file for go to court, and like if you're urinating and all, if they file, they can get off this program and don't have to wait because of what it is. So I'm going to make a motion to accept this.
First reading.
Well, my answer.
Wait a minute. We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll wait and answer your question after the second.
Is there a second? I'll second it. Mr. Cahill?
Mr. Schaefer, I believe under the charter it's improper for you to make a motion, second a motion, or render a personal opinion without first setting aside the gavel.
In the charter?
I believe so.
I'll set aside the gavel and pass it to Mr. Evans. I'll make a second. Thank you. Mr. Cahill?
The answer to your question, Mr. Presley, is that state law goes very deeply into the sex offender issue, and we have many laws. We already have restrictions, and I feel that the restrictions that we have, especially as we have no concurrent problem with recidivism, are more than adequate to meet the needs of our citizens without the town of Smyrna taking it upon itself to regulate what is and should be state law enforcement business, nor do I know how we're supposed to enforce this. Again, the specter of a lawsuit. Bridgeville has already put through a similar ordinance, and my opinion is, why don't we let Bridgeville get sued and see what happens before we put ourselves up there where we're going to get sued?
I want to say that I do agree with Gene that
the Delaware law is in Title 11, and I have reviewed it. I have three children, and I have lived here when a sex offender did decide he wanted to live here, and I posted that information everywhere, and I terrorized the police department about it, and he lived somewhere else. It's in the paper where they're going to move to. I agree with Bill. If somebody hurt my kids, we'd be there together. But this law, you know, the proposed one is, it's too much. It doesn't differentiate between, you know, there's a 14-year-old sex offender going to the middle school. Should I not send my kid there now? I've reviewed, you know, the online listing of the 70 sex offenders that are listed, and like Mr. Cahill said, there are not 70 in Smyrna.
Yeah, but the ones that are here, they have a problem. And why would you want to just keep bringing them people here?
One is 14 years old. One lives down the street, and he was, if I'm not mistaken, he was urinating in public. He really isn't. He's a nuisance, but he's not necessarily a sex offender. And I have read the Delaware law, and I have read this law, and I don't agree. I think the Delaware law is strict. I love my children. I want to protect everybody's children. I have spoke to Chief Baldwin, and it's not a reoccurring problem here.
Let me just address this this fallacy about this urinating in public thing.
It was an example.
We discussed that at the Public Safety Committee meeting, and also I was honored to be at a public forum with Judge Vaughn where he spoke on this issue, and Mr. Presley was there also. And Judge Vaughn's opinion was, first of all, he thought it was highly remote that anybody would be placed on a sex offender's list if that was a violation. However, God forbid they were. Somehow it fell through the cracks, and they got placed on the sex offender list. They have a right to immediately petition the court, have that case reviewed very quickly, and have their name removed from that list. And he said he can't imagine any judge in the state of Delaware, if this individual had fell through the cracks, would not have their name immediately removed from the list. Anyway.
I'd like to make a statement in that state law versus our town law. Our town law about election has now been usurped and changed by state law that's coming up. And in their wisdom, they are now changing so that we're all together on election law. I see the state, in their wisdom, doing what is right when it comes to sex offenders. And I think our town should follow the state, as we are going to with election law.
Well, we always follow state law. We're mandated to do so. Any other comments? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor? Aye.
No.
Opposed?
No.
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 That's three yeses and four noes. Thank you very much. New business, 9A, Annexation KRM Development Corp, 1511 Paddock Road. Mr. Hug?
Yeah, thank you.
By the way, I referred a call this afternoon to you regarding this property.
Okay.
He said he'd call you tomorrow.
Okay. This is actually two parcels of property of about 80-some acres. Straddles Paddock Road adjacent to property that's already in the town of Smyrna owned by KRM Development Corporation that was annexed a couple of years ago and is now in the process of being planned for a business and industrial park. The other part of the property is behind Ronnie's Market and butts up to the back of the rest area, and that's the area that they've referred to as Tract A, that they would like to have annexed and zoned residential 2A for a residential development. This property is consistent with the comprehensive plan as approved and the agreement that was reached with Newcastle County and the state over both annexation and the provision of utilities. A major benefit of this annexation is that it will provide a much more effective and appropriately located entrance for the new business park than what had otherwise been proposed off of Brickstore Landing Road. If you agree tonight with this request, then we would proceed with setting a fact-finding hearing and following that an election, annexation election.
What is the recommendation of planning and zoning staff?
The recommendation of planning and zoning and the staff is that this property be annexed into the town of Smyrna.
Okay. And it's in line with the comprehensive land use plan? Thank you, sir.
And the annexation plan and the state
and the annexation plan and the agreement with the state. And
what's the pleasure of the council?
Do we want to do these separately or as two?
Do them together or separately?
Well, if you want, the other one is actually on the other side of, on the west side of Smyrna. It is a property that faces Duck Creek Road on the northwest side of the road, just as you cross the stream going north. It is a property that is also in the proposed annexation area, covered by the agreement, and is being requested to be zoned residential R2A, which is consistent with the other properties in that area. So if you would like to do them together, that's fine, or you can do them as two separate.
P&Z and staff also recommend
approval. Recommend them, right.
Why don't we do them together then?
I'll make a motion. We approve the annexation request for first KRM Development Corporation, 1511 Paddock Road, and secondly for the Katz property at 1273 Duck Creek Road.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any question?
Yeah. I understand that KRM was, this is the property that was going to be light manufacturing. Is that?
Well, the property that's already in town limits, roughly 180 acres, is zoned, currently zoned IORP. KRM would like to do a mixed-use project on there, but primarily a business park. These two, the two parcels that they're coming to us today, one is on the south side of Paddock Road and backs up to the property that's already in town limits. That they would like to have zoned IORP and use as their primary entrance to the business park. And the property across the street, which is behind Ronnie's Market and backs up to the rest area, they would like to develop as a residential project.
Was that their original plan?
Their original plan was to do, I think, commercial on the area north of Paddock Road, and their plan has always been to do a business park on the area south of Paddock Road.
And do we know how many, you know, I happen to see something on the south side of Paddock Road that indicated a number of living units along the creek,
right.
Yeah. Do we know how many living units are going to be in there?
We don't have a final site plan. That's really something that gets worked out as we proceed forward. The R2A zoning district for the portion of the property that's north of Paddock Road would probably be limited to, I'm assuming, if they built townhouses or duplexes or something of that nature, probably 25 to 30 units. It's a lot of that site is wet, so it won't be a very extensive development. They are coming back to the town, and we will be coming back to planning and zoning and the council at some point to include a residential component in the existing business park property that's in town limits. But that's a separate transaction that we'll deal with.
Yeah, I'm a bit concerned over the fact that we approved their annexation based on industrial use, and now they're coming back for residential use.
Well, you'll have to approve their rezoning if they choose to do so. I will tell you that the state is very much supportive of the notion of mixed use. The state has a program called Live Near Your Work that provides some mortgage assistance and other assistance to people to live near their place of employment. This is the sort of concept du jour in the planning profession at the moment, that this notion of mixed uses and integrating into business and commercial facilities some residential component. But again, that they currently are zoned IORP, and that is what they're allowed to do on the parcel pending an application for rezoning.
Thank you.
Do we have any kind of site plan on either one of these tracks?
The KRM property?
Right.
We have a very preliminary site plan on the KRM property for the area south of Paddock Road. Their main entrance would come in about where the old farmhouse, if you know where the Warner trailer, threw off whatever the trailer, kind of behind that, that would be their main entrance. There would be a kind of a central circle or called sort of island in about two-thirds of the way into the property, and then some roads that branch off in each direction with parcels ranging from about 4 acres to, I think, 20 acres. And they're still working out some sewer details with us, and they're also committed to give us a site for a water tower and well on that property. So.
And what's the acreage on this site?
These two sites are about combined are about 80 acres, I believe. They're split about in half, about 35 on one side and 45 on the other.
Any other questions? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Do it no on both.
Yes.
9B, request for donation to Boys and Girls Club. Mr. Hugg, did you want to make comment on that?
Yeah, let me get this here. Okay. You have in your packet a request from Boys and Girls Club of Delaware. From Tricia,
just Moncrief.
Moncrief, from the Smyrna Clayton Boys and Girls Club. As you recall, they had asked earlier in the end of last year to be considered as part of our grant program. This year's budget, at least at the moment, does not include any grants for other than the fire company or the ambulance service. They're requesting, I believe from this, they're requesting a grant of $25,000, which they will use for a match to support the Boys and Girls Club programs in Smyrna. Chief, is there anything else you wanted to add to that?
I guess there's probably a lot of things I'd like to say. But basically, there is a matching program with the Boys and Girls the corporate board, they all match dollar for dollar what we raise to support the Boys and Girls Club in Smyrna. The ending date for this fiscal year is 30 June, which I believe is why the request is before you now. I had encouraged Tricia to actually appear before the council. I don't know, maybe she wasn't aware it was coming up tonight, I don't know, to present some information. I guess either you agree with the Boys and Girls Club is doing or not, and I don't mean to be unfair about that, but I guess whatever financial support the town could give the Boys and Girls Club at this time would be appreciated, because for this fiscal year we are guaranteed a match, and there's been discussion that for the next fiscal year corporate may not be able to afford to do that. So,
Chief, when is their fiscal year over with?
30 June.
I can tell you, I think the Boys and Girls Club does a tremendous job in our community, and every child they can enroll in their program, whether it being during the school year or the summer program, is a enormous cost savings to the town of Smyrna. I don't know that we can ever measure it, but I firmly believe it's a tremendous cost savings, not only in police manpower, but public works manpower, that you let kids out on the street in the evening as opposed to being in the Boys and Girls Club. I know Trish told me that she had to cut kids off probably a month ago, but she was just out of money. And at that point, I think she had 20, 25 children that would not be able to attend the summer program. And those kids will be out on the street every day and every night. And I hope they behave, but chances are they probably won't.
Mr. Schaefer, do we have a Parks and Recreation program?
We do, and so does the county in our community.
So, I'm as a question, what if our Parks and Recreation program is operating according to the way it should, and we have the county recreation program? I guess I'm trying to figure out where the Boys and Girls Club fits into all this.
Well,
meaning that you're saying or indicating that
there are no other recreation alternatives unless it's the Boys and Girls Club. But I think we have, if we have a functioning Parks and Recreation Committee, that would take up the slack. We have a budget for that. We have a committee. I don't know if it's met or not, but and then we have the County Recreation Program, which I think is very, very active. I see that in the newspaper and everything else, people can participate. We have the Little League, a huge Little League program, and the Little Lass program. I'm just wondering how the Boys and Girls Club fits into the myriad of activities we have in the town.
Well, they primarily service lower-income children that can't afford to, believe it or not, there are kids in our community that can't afford to play baseball, can't afford to pay the county a fee to attend their events. And that's the niche the Boys and Girls Club fits. And I agree with you, there's plenty of recreational activity, including hanging out on the street corners at night and vandalizing property and getting in trouble. So it's entirely up to the council. And what's the pleasure of the council? How would you like to proceed?
I've got a comment before we add up. Mr. Schaefer, I do agree with you. I think the Boys and Girls Club does probably save us money in law enforcement and things like that. In many of their programs, it's a very well-run outfit. Just to correct you for one thing, the Smyrna-Clayton Little League doesn't charge for.
Well, you got to buy equipment and so forth.
Well, there is equipment provided and things like that. But just if a kid wants to play baseball, they can certainly play for free. Little Lass is the same way. This is another one of those things that kind of puts this council in between a rock and a hard place. It's very worthwhile. $25,000 is a lot of money, especially in the budget light that we're in right now. I would love to see them expand their program. I would love to see them expand their facility. But right now I don't think we have the money in the budget, unless it magically appeared last night. I don't know, Mr. Hugg. I mean, can we basically, what I'm asking is, can we afford this $25,000?
Well, I think, yeah, the question is really, the council made a conscious decision back in November to not proceed with any of the grants except for the fire department and the ambulance. And you know, I certainly think the Boys and Girls Club is a great program, but there were other grant requesters who also run great programs in town, and we opted as a town to not consider grants until we completed a mid-year review of the budget. That process is underway. Certainly, you know, $25,000 isn't going to break the bank. On any given night or any given day of the town's budget. But if you're going to do this grant, then you really do need to, you know, fairly consider the grants from requests from the Little League and from the museum and from other people who provide worthwhile programs as well, not just.
We could always defer F and help the Boys and Girls Club. Is there a motion?
I'm going to make a motion. I'd like to make a motion that we table this item until such time as the Finance Committee has had their meeting on, is it the 14th of this month?
14th.
At which time, unfortunately, we couldn't get through the agenda last time. As Gene said, it was too extensive. This was one of the items that was not covered. Until we are able to revisit all the grant programs that have been requested from us in the town prior to bringing this back to council.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
See, request for street name change in honor of George C. Wright and the Prince Hall Masons and the Order of the Eastern Star. Mr. Hugg?
Yeah, actually, this is on the agenda because it was carried over from the previous council meeting, but on the 15th it was referred to the Public Safety Committee, and I don't believe the Public Safety Committee has met to consider it.
We could also put this on the agenda, Chief,
yes, sir,
along with the other issue.
Okay. So we'll...
Is there a motion to table this until the Public Safety Committee meets?
I'll make a motion to table this until the Public Safety meeting.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. D, recommendations of the finance.
Second?
Yeah, we had a second right here.
I'll press that one again.
Mr. Hug?
Sorry, let me get this. Recommendations of the Finance Committee. In our previous discussions, both in the Finance Committee and in Council, we have been asked, staff has been asked to look at our various impact fees to determine whether or not they are in fact appropriate. We did raise the general impact fee at the beginning of the year, and we are in the process. In fact, we delivered some materials to the Finance Committee at their last meeting, looking at impact fees kind of across the board among a number of municipalities. But we also asked the town's electrical engineer to revisit the electric impact fee, which was adopted effective January of last year. At $682, I believe it was, and adjusted for the CPI this year to $707. In the electric arena, in large measure because of the impact on prices and deliveries as a result of the Gulf Coast hurricanes and other events, electric costs, electric facility costs have gone up substantially faster than the rest of the prices. Our engineer has come back and recommended to us that if we were to set the electric system impact fee based on the current expected costs of the facilities needed for future development, that our electric impact fee should be increased to $1,057. That's roughly $300 above what it currently is. I did do a little bit of additional research after the Finance Committee and determined that the actual amount of the fee was set by a motion of the council, so council can tonight, or if they choose to, next meeting, actually make a motion to set the fee or set the fee anywhere it chooses in between. But we based strictly on expected costs, it is our recommendation that the electric impact fee be raised to $1,057 per equivalent dwelling unit.
What's pleasure to council?
Mr. Hug, are you, if I may, from Mr. Hug, are you saying that no ordinance is required? Is that what I heard you say?
Right. The ordinance that was passed establishes an electric impact fee, but the actual fee amount is set by motion of the council. So council can set the fee. This doesn't require an amendment to the ordinance. It simply can be a motion tonight.
Does this? Excuse me, but I'm sorry, but does this require three readings then?
No,
since it's not an ordinance?
It does not.
I'm going to make a motion that we increase the electrical impact fee to $1,057 per EDU.
For a second?
I second.
I've got a question, Dave. So, at our Finance Committee, so we ain't going to have this as a reading.
When we discussed this at the Finance Committee, I was under the impression, I think we were under the impression that it was actually set by ordinance, and we were going to, because I actually discussed with you the possibility of waiving the three reading rule if appropriate. When I went back and looked through the code, the actual amount was set by a motion to council, so you don't have to follow the three reading ordinance provision.
I'm going to say myself, I would like to have it come back to finance like we first said we would do, and then do whatever we wanted to do to give, because I still have questions on it that I ain't prepared to ask tonight. But the majority of council.
Well, my understanding and the reason that I think that we ought to go ahead and do this right away, because we did have extensive discussion at the finance meeting, and as Mr. Presley said, there was kind of a tentative agreement to put it off till the next meeting. But on thinking about this, and the reason that I'm coming to my conclusions, just for your information, is this is a real cost. This is a real cost increase. Like if you go down to the gas pump today and the gas is 50 cents more than it was yesterday, there's nothing you can do about it. Somebody's going to have to pay for it. My feeling is that if we don't raise it right now, then all the impact fees that come in the interim before we're able to raise it, we're going to have a $300 shortfall per. That $300 will come out of the taxpayers' pockets of Smyrna, not the developers. Now, the one thing that I've heard repeatedly through the school referendums, comments from my constituents, is that people are really afraid that the developers aren't paying their fair share. This is an example where it's only a matter of $300, but it's clearly an incurred cost. It's not something we're pulling out of our hat, and the developers can pass this on to their customers. This does not come out of the pocket of Smyrna taxpayers. It comes out of the pockets of the people who are doing business in our town, and again, they can pass those business costs on. So that's why I just feel that this is something that is not, the facts aren't going to change on, and we ought to just get it done now and get it over with. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Mr. Presley?
No.
Mr. Hogg, did you want to do the library?
The Friends of the Library, I don't know how long they've been in existence, but the Friends of the Library organization is in the process of going out of business, I guess is the best way to describe it. They are disbanding as a group. One of the benefits that the Friends has provided to the library over quite some period of time is that they operate a used book sale each month. And the proceeds of that book sale are used by the Friends to buy new books and to support the summer reading program. We being the town, the library, believes that we should continue the used book sale. It is a way to recycle books and generate some revenues for the library. Staff agrees that although normally when there's any miscellaneous revenues that accrue to the town, they go in the general fund as part of the budget. But in this particular case, it makes sense to establish a separate account that would be used specifically for the purposes that the Friends of the Library originally had in mind for buying new books and for supporting the summer reading program. But we'd like approval from council to set up that fund and keep it separate as a fund in the library as opposed to just having the proceeds go to the general fund.
It's a pleasure of the council.
I'll make a motion that we set up a separate fund for the library used book sale.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Hogg, resolution to adjust the street sweeping schedule on West Commerce.
You have in your packet a copy of the resolution. This is really almost a housekeeping amendment. We've gotten a lot of complaints from folks, on Commerce Street about the hours that the parking is restricted for street sweeping. A number of people have advised us that because it starts as early as it does, that they've had to park somewhere else the night before, or they've gotten tickets or what have you. So basically what we're doing here is just asking to amend the language that relates to when those parking will be prohibited on those streets.
What's the pleasure of the council?
I'll make a motion that we amend the language.
Your second?
Second.
Mr. Mayor, Dave, is this the one on Commerce Street from Delaware Street? I don't have a copy of that.
Union Main Street, Delaware Street, yeah.
The one that says it goes to Mount Vernon Street?
Right.
They don't intersect.
There's two sections in there, though, that, let's see, no parking, Commerce Street from Delaware to Mount Vernon.
That's one that, I saw that, that's one that concerns me. They don't intersect.
Okay.
Parallel. Commerce and Mount Vernon do. The Delaware Street's correct. I'm not sure where you intended for Dan.
Okay.
And we, can we approve it subject to having that typo corrected by staff? Is that okay, Mr. Jaywork?
Yes.
Is that acceptable to make a motion, Mr. Presley?
Yes.
Mr. Evans? All in favor?
I will correct that.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Recommendations of the Long Range Planning Committee. Who wants to address it? Who's Mr. Hugger?
Well, thank you, sir. Let's see. Actually, we can do we can do A, B, and C together. Let me preface this with a couple of remarks. There's been a lot of concern raised by members of council about the Historic Preservation Grant Program, and we discussed at both the Finance Committee and I think at the Long Range Planning Committee the amount of money that we had allocated so far, the projects that were in the sort of in the queue, if you were, and I believe, and you can the councilman involved can correct me if I'm incorrect. I believe that the crux of the issue was that we needed going forward to set an actual grant limit as part of the budget and before we made it, sort of started new projects through the process. What you have before you, actually including item number two under F, are three grant requests that are in the mill or have been in the mill through the Historic Preservation Review process, have been approved by the Historic Preservation Program, and are now coming forward for your consideration. And one that is complete, that is before you for approval of dispersing the actual grant funds. Irrespective of the concern over where we go moving forward with this program, these are all projects by people who came to the town, made their application, went through the process, are doing improvements to their properties that are consistent with the program. We're reviewed by the Historic Preservation Review Board, approved, granted building permits, and are in various stages of construction or completion. So I think it would be unfair to change the rules, if you will, on these projects at this time. They are part of the list of projects that the Finance Committee and the Long Range Planning Committee had before them last week, so they're part of the total universe of projects. They are a grant for 116 North Main Street in the amount of $5,000, and you have the application before you. A grant for 36 East Commerce in the amount of $3,439 and change, and a grant request for 42 to 44 West Commerce in the amount of $3,910.50. And then you have one project, which is a request to actually be reimbursed for a project that is complete at 131 West South Street, again, the maximum grant of $5,000. Again, these have been reviewed and approved by the Historic Preservation Historic District Review Board and by town staff, and we would recommend that the first three be approved for award and the item number two be approved for funding.
And what's that grand total?
The grand total of those four projects, the grand total is $534.39, so that's
$84.39.
$17,000.
For the three projects?
For the four projects. The three projects plus 131 West South Street.
Right.
Is that money in the budget?
That money is not a line item in the budget. That's been one of the requests of the Finance Committee, that we have a budget line called Neighborhood Redevelopment that had $300,000 in it for various neighborhood projects, of which this is part of that pot. In our discussions in finance, I think the consensus was that if we're going to continue the program, we need to actually have a specific line allocation as opposed to this kind of, actually the neighborhood development money, which is a part, was part of the capital program originally.
I'll let everybody wait for me to talk.
Well, that's okay.
I'm going to have to, yeah, like I said, at the last couple meetings, I voted on the last one. and I said I would not vote on no more until we had something different straightened out on these. For the simple reason it's a very good program. Janet does a very good job with it. But not having a budget, not knowing how much money that we're spending, is just not something that I can approve. We've already spent to date $53,000.
That includes these projects, sir.
Does that include these?
It includes these projects. In your list from...
That's $53,000.
Over 2 years.
That we've approved. And we still got, you know, the little last. We still got a lot of other people that are looking for money from the town, Boys Club. And we're going to give citizens money to these people that are fixing up their houses where there's other... And it's a good program, but I just think that it needs to be changed before we approve any more of these grants, as, like I said, at the last meeting that we approved. It's a good program, but we got to set a precedence of what we're spending and who we're giving money to and what it's for. But again, pleasure of the council.
I agree. The only thing that worries me about doing that, Bill, and I agree with you. I think the parameters of the program need to be more strongly defined as far as what you can apply for and things like that. The only thing that worries me is this council has approved I don't know how many of these grants. I'm thinking probably 8 or 10 over this last year, maybe. But anyway, we approved some, and now, you know, we're saying, well, these people applied, but we're not going to approve them. I think we need to pick a date that they have to, that the project had to have been applied for. Anything after that date, we're not going to approve until we look at the program more. I think it would open up the town to some, litigation if we didn't approve these, but I think it's a good program. I really do. I'm a little concerned. It is called a facade improvement grant. In the last two last couple of grants that I saw, I have a bit of a problem with the work being done calling that a facade improvement. But other than that, I think the council needs to pick a date to cut off the applications, just so we don't get into some legal problems as far as denying these grants.
Well, I don't know how we could get any legal things, because it's free money to them. I mean, it's not something, it's free money to them. But how are we going to tell the rest of these clubs and other people that want money from us that we've told them at the budget that we weren't going to give no more money out until our mid-year term, and then we're giving this money out?
How many are more in the queue?
I don't believe there are any. Janet's not here tonight. I don't know of any others that are currently in the queue. I think these are all the list that was given to you at the Finance Committee. Bill, do you have that list?
Mm-hmm.
All the projects that are in the process, and that is basically a cumulative list over...
Well, couldn't somebody drop an application off tomorrow morning?
Well, I think unless we make a motion that at this point in time that we refer that no further grants be given and sent to the Finance Committee to decide how much this is worth to the town, I might suggest that these improvements are more permanent improvements to the town as opposed to operational funds. There's a difference between, you know, creating a structure in the town as opposed to paying for operations that will not be here next year or the year after.
The museum, they're asking for money. That's going to be here for a long time.
I understand. That's for operations. We're talking about, they're not asking us to operate their homes. They're just asking us to help them with improvements to their homes, which the council before us has decided is a good thing for the town. At this point, we can stop. We can make a motion and stop these grants pending a further review by the Finance Committee.
But I've been doing that for the for the last year I've been on this council.
Well, you can make a motion and we can vote on it.
I think Ms. White has something to say about this.
No.
Did they answer your questions?
Yeah, everybody already.
You're trying to get word in edgewise.
I just agreed with, you know, what Mr. Presley said and what Mr. Mullen said, that they are good programs, but maybe we can look at it a little differently and put a cap on it and set a date. It goes to the Historic Review Board, then it comes to us. There's no in-between. They've already, I'm assuming that Ms. Karen Gilbert already knows that she's been approved by the Historic Review Board, and now it's in our hands. So there's no in-between. It's from here to there, and that's the end of it.
That's the way it's been.
First thing I think is we can't change horses in the middle of a stream. These folks have put we created this program. We made this offer to the people. These folks have in good faith followed all our guidelines, have come to us, have been approved, have gone through all the motions, and we basically have a contract with them that we're going to help them out at this point, okay? Now I'm referring to the ones that are already in the mill, especially the four in front of us. Dr. Shervinak, I'm not sure, but I think that in order to make a motion to set a cutoff date on the program, that we may have to get that as an agenda item at a meeting. I know that we're up for discussion on this at the next finance meeting. Isn't that true, Gene? The grants in general?
Yes.
Okay, so we will be discussing it
then.
That's
the next finance committee.
So, Mr. Evans?
I just got one thing to say here. If we approve these grants for these people tonight, I'm quite sure that at the next meeting, the 4th of July committee is going to send a letter wanting some money.
I think they already have, haven't they?
Now, are we going to cut them off? We have donated money for the last 2 years that I've been on this council, and I understand what everybody is saying. But if we're sitting here saying that we're going to cut the grants completely out until we have a mid-year review, if we're going to cut them out, let's do it now. Let's not wait. Let's do it now.
Well, the other thing is that's $17,000 that we can put.
And then when the 4th of July committee or any other committee comes in front of us, we can say no.
Well, the situation we're in, though, Mr. Evans, is that we did make that decision 6 months ago that we were going to put a hold on all those other grant programs, and we did not make the decision to put a hold on this one. So for all practical purposes, this program is still in effect, and we can't change that until we legally change that. Okay, now, at our next Finance Committee meeting, I think we should discuss this. I think we should go over it in very great detail and decide, is this, as I pointed out at the last meeting, I felt it's an investment in our community because it tends to bring up the value of properties in areas that have become somewhat blighted. And our interest is also, the benefit we get back is that this forces the people who own these homes to keep them historically accurate, which makes our town prettier, makes it more valuable. So that's why we've been looking at this as an investment. If we want to change it, we can change it, but I don't think we can change it tonight. So therefore, if I'm going to make a motion that we approve the matching grants for 116 North Main Street, the Brown property, 36 East Commerce Street, the Gilbert property, 42-44 West Commerce Street, the Sheridan property.
Is there a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Not voting.
Item 2, we already discussed that. What's the pleasure of the council?
I'll make a motion on item 2 that we approve the disbursement of the grant monies to the property of 131 West South Street, property owner Cuss.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Sorry, did you get them?
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No. Mr. Hogg?
I would like to make a motion that we have a moratorium on all other matching grants until the Finance Committee meets again to review this.
Is there a second?
I'll wait for the second, I guess, then discussion. Or maybe we have discussion now?
Is there a second?
I'm sorry, the motion was made by Mr. Mullen.
I'll second the motion for purposes of discussion.
Okay. I'd like to check into the legality of that with Mr. J. Work. It's not on our agenda for tonight to make that decision, but can we do that?
Well,
should we do it under other council business?
No, if you're going to do it, I think you can do it because it legitimately rose at the time of the meeting. I don't suppose anyone came here this evening with the idea that this was going to be a moratorium was going to be placed.
No.
And I think this kind of evolved out of the discussion that is already. That took place this evening, and so I think it would be appropriate.
Okay.
I just think that we need to get a handle on it. I agree with you, Bill. That you know it's something that perhaps the council should have thought about before when it set up the program. But in light of some of the other programs and other things that council has failed to to fund, I think we need to take a closer look at this, and we need to get it better organized and make sure that we had the money. I would be in favor of having the historical committee refer their suggestions to the finance committee to look at before it comes council. I think that would just be another step that would help us review it better.
Also, as I suggested at the Finance Committee, that I think before we make a decision on this, we need to bring in Janet Vince, the head of the Planning and Zoning, to give her take on it as our resident expert on this program. Mr. Mullen, I just wonder if I could ask you to repeat your motion. What are the parameters of your motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we have a moratorium on all matching grant funds applications until such time as, and I can put a date on it, until the end of July of this year.
And would that include what about requests that are already in the works? Will you ask that question to Dave? Dave?
You said there were none.
Well, as far as I know, these were the last four that were in the works.
Okay, so this would be a really good time then to do
exactly.
That. Very good. Thank
exactly.
You, sir.
Call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Mr. Hug, number three.
Yeah, in your packet you have some. Did you have a question? Bill, did you?
Didn't vote.
Oh, you didn't vote on that either. Okay.
Evans, did you vote?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. In your packet is a survey that's being conducted on behalf of the town of Smyrna, the town of Clayton, and basically the other participants in this study of transportation issues in the Smyrna Clayton area. Mr. Shervinak, I don't know if there's any action required of council specifically on the survey. I wasn't at your meeting, so.
Oh, okay. No, actually, what we discussed was the issue of the growth in this area is going to require something, some road and transportation system west of this town. You know, if you come downtown during the midday, I mean, it's like, yikes, the traffic is backed up from Main Street all the way back past Commerce Street or the Market Street and that sort of thing. And sometimes it's hard for me to get out of the bank and make a left-hand turn out of the bank parking lot. That wasn't the case, but I understand that's growth. But if you look at the road structure of this whole area, it's you have to go through Smyrna or through back roads to get north and south. And what we looked at, and we were strongly urging, I don't know what would mess with DelDOT, but that they start financing and looking at strongly a western bypass to Smyrna. I don't necessarily mean a four-lane road, but some road that allows people in the western territories to go north and south without having to come through our town. because right now they do. And I looked at some maps drawn and that sort of thing of potential sites, and what I'm hoping is that the council can make some strong recommendations as to proceeding with this plan.
Well, I, for one thing, it's a great idea. Mr. Hug and I actually proposed that about 3.5-4 years ago. I have the newspaper articles. Wasn't very well received, but the important thing is to delineate a area to build a bypass on a map and prevent it from being developed with houses and rooftops, because then you have the Middletown problem, and I hear that number is now $360 million to build a bypass around Middletown because nobody had the vision to set aside land to build a bypass. Whether we need it today or not, we can debate. I think we do. But let's say, hypothetically, we don't. We'll have the land set aside 10, 15, 20 years from now to build the bypass. But I guess the survey is just a fill-in-the-blank kind of thing.
It is, and the Dover Kent MPO has volunteered to kind of be the staff coordinator for this initiative that does involve. It's actually unusual to see representatives from Newcastle County and Wamapco come to Smyrna. They actually found their way here and participated openly and productively in the discussion of some of these issues.
That's a big change.
It's a big change from where they were. But any input that any members of council would like to provide is certainly.
Would it be appropriate at this meeting or the next meeting to offer a resolution from the council supporting the concept? Or
probably, it probably would.
If somebody wants to make that motion, feel free.
I would definitely make the motion that the council be it resolved to the Delaware County Metropolitan Planning Organization that we are in full support of developing a western bypass to our town.
Second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Does that need any further discussion?
No.
Just briefly, since we were just speaking to the Historic District Review Board and the Finance Committee, I did just want to note that Richard Yerger, who is the chair of the Historic District Review Board, has tendered his resignation, and William Wagner, who's a member of the Finance and Economic Development Committee, has tendered his resignation, and I would like to publicly thank them for their volunteer service. I think they both did a tremendous job, and which means we have a vacancy. If anyone has any ideas of somebody that would like to serve on the Historic Review Committee, let me know. We could use somebody.
Mr. Schaefer, I know it's out of order at this point, but I would like to dovetail on your comments.
Yes.
We've had two councilmen who served, one served for 12 years, another served for 6 years, who recently left our council. That's 18 years of service to our town. I, for one, did not know of any recognition that these people have received from our council. I don't remember a plaque or a certificate or anything recognizing that they've been here.
I think that's a tremendous idea.
And I would like to propose that we recognize Mr. Hill is here tonight and Mr. Burritt for their service to our community, either through a plaque within our town hall or a personal plaque or certificate or both. But I know that they served our town well, and I think they should be recognized.
If I might be bold enough to suggest, have a motion to offer them a nicely done plaque.
I'll make that motion.
And I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Moving right along, we have G, H, and I. Mr. J. Rourke, I have two questions for you. Do we have to come back upstairs after each of these sessions? Or
No, we can go into one executive session.
Okay.
That's
what I thought the answer would be. And that being the answer, would it be appropriate? We have Mr. Barrows here from your office and former Councilman Hill. Would it be appropriate to do H first so they could get out of here?
I think that's fine.
I think Mr. Hill would probably appreciate it. Tom's getting paid. Bill's volunteering, but does
fine.
Council have a problem with doing that?
I have no problem with it, right, as long as you don't.
No.
Okay,
I would like to make just one correction.
Yes.
It says executive session to approve recommendation. It should be discussed. The council's not going to approve anything in executive session.
That's correct.
You're right.
Okay.
And we do have item I that was added as well.
Yes.
Correct.
There's three items, G, H, and I. Is there a motion to go into executive session?
Excuse me, but may I ask first, what is item I?
To discuss a local business.
Right. Yes, very good.
Possible legal issues regarding that. Is there a motion to go into executive session?
I'll make a motion we go into executive session to discuss recommendation of electrical workers negotiating committee.
And the other two as well?
Yeah.
And the other two as well. I mean, just the executive session to discuss contents of documents pertaining to potential litigation.
We're going to do
all three
at once?
Right.
I wish to amend my motion. I'm going to make a motion that we enter executive discussion as I stated, for the electrical department, also to discuss content of documents pertaining to potential litigation, which are not records of any court, and I would be,
business.
Confidentiality.
Proprietary information of business, local business.
Oh, that's right, for a discussion of information concerning a local business that's proprietary.
Is there a second?
I'll second
that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And for the benefit of the public, you're more than welcome to stay.